This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, this is officially Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year, and next Sunday is what? The first Sunday in Advent, the season where we celebrate and anticipate the coming or the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had a few things to say about Jesus in our Colossians passage for today, the epistle reading. But we're going to take a look at it from the first few verses and take a look at what Paul is trying to tell us about the life of a disciple of Jesus. So it's Colossians 1, 11 through 20, and your handout is in your bulletin to follow along. Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have preeminence, or he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of this cross. The first words of this passage are absolutely awesome, wonderful, and glorious. According to several translations from the Greek text, Paul is telling the Colossians, and therefore us too, that they've been equipped with all power, or endowed with all strength. Or, if you will, they've been given power of every kind, or with full power. It's also in the highest degree. Now, I don't know about you, but we need to see this passage as one of incredible blessing for all of us. These first words tell us that we have available to us on a daily basis, minute by minute, if necessary, at all times, the amazing fullness of God's power. This means he's given us a way to have power, endurance, strength, and amazing might to go through every day in triumph, being winners, victors. That's amazing. God has said, through Paul, that we are strengthened with all power. Now, this means that nothing we face during the course of any day should be able to do us in, because we have been equipped, strengthened, and endowed with power from the Lord himself. Amen. If this wasn't enough, the power we've been given is not in small quantities, doled out on a rationing system. Paul tells us that we've been given this mighty, overwhelming power according to his glorious might. How powerful is God? This is not a rhetorical question. How powerful is God?
Incredible.
All powerful, right? Well, he's given us strength according to that. This is not a rationing system. You don't have a card that you have to go have punched by some angel telling you, okay, here's your power for today. And you don't have to go up there and say, and he says, uh-oh, you've used up your power for today. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow. No, it's all available right now, 24/7, 365, ad infinitum, until the day he calls us home. Whenever, however that is, it's available in big honking quantities. There is no limit to how much power God wants to give you and can give you. Since he has it all, and it all belongs to him, and he is essentially power itself, and he's given it to us. We've been given his might, his strength, his power, and every kind of energy and endurance according to his glorious might. There's a reason he gave us all of this power and strength. It's so we can triumph and overcome in every situation in life with endurance and with joy. It means when we walk in his power, he will give us the necessary insight and understanding so we'll see what's happening to us his way and then be able to have his joy in every situation. Note, he doesn't say we have to like the situation we're in. It's just that when we have his strength, we can turn that thing around and see it the way God sees it and get a different perspective. We'll see his purpose behind what's going on in our lives. Instead of thinking then, oh no, not again, another bad day. What else can possibly go wrong? Can anything else possibly go wrong? Don't say that. If we walk in the gift of his power so we can have joy in every circumstance, and if we grow in our trust of him, we'll see it his way as an opportunity to give him glory and to be a blessing to someone else. Anybody hear that? We can turn that thing around and see it his way and have an opportunity to bless someone else and to give God glory. Now, how do we respond to that? We do as Paul says at the beginning of verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Give thanks. The Apostle Paul speaks about giving thanks to the Father. Again, how do we respond to what he's given us? We give him thanks. This is an amazing topic because for the record, in his short letter to the Colossians, Paul talks about being thankful or giving thanks 5 times. And there's only 4 chapters in the book of Colossians. And he mentions being thankful 5 times. From this small example here, can we see that being thankful is something that the Lord wants us to be? Yes. Do I need to shout louder to make sure you guys are listening? I'm already loud enough, I think. Don't answer that. Now, we started out with the positive message about the Lord giving us power and are now on being thankful. Let's look at being thankful for the most difficult aspect first so that we can get that out of the way. This section is called Radical Gratitude, and believe me, it is radical if we can learn to be thankful under the situation we're getting ready to talk about. Maybe the most radical and unbelievable part of this whole deal is being able to give thanks when things aren't going so well. In a web article on the webpage Learn Religions, Jack Zavada wrote that giving thanks when you're suffering seems like an idea so far-fetched, nobody could take it seriously. Yet, that is exactly what God asks us to do. The Apostle Paul, who knew more than his share of sorrow, counseled the believers in Thessalonica to do just that. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. How could Paul tell us to be thankful, to give thanks, when it looks like our lives are going downhill in a hurry? Truly, it's because Paul understood the benefit of giving thanks in the bad times. He knew that when we turn our attention to God in the difficult moments, and there are sometimes many of those, it takes our minds off of ourselves and turns our hearts and minds to God. How many of us have problems mostly because we're thinking about ourselves too much? Okay? So when we turn our thoughts to God, we get, again, His perspective on the issue. And then things don't look nearly as bad as we thought they were, or that there's some purpose or reason behind it. Yet still, most of us wonder, how can we possibly be thankful in the middle of a completely awful time? Zavada also said, Paul is pretty clear about us letting the Holy Spirit speak for us in these difficult circumstances. Paul was well aware of what he could and could not do. He knew his missionary work was far beyond his natural strength, and he knew the situations he was in were way past what any normal person should be able to endure. Being stoned and left for dead, being put in jail numerous times, being shipwrecked, being a prisoner, and being mistreated, run out of town, having riots, and every other thing possible. Do you think any normal human being could endure all of that without the amazing power of the Holy Spirit working in them?
No.
Not a chance. We get upset when it takes too long to go through a cashier's line. When it takes too long at the drive-thru at some burger joint, we're... So we have not endured what Paul said, but here's this dude, Paul, saying, be thankful. And we're saying, are you crazy? But no, he wasn't. It's the same for us in almost all of those situations, not almost. It's true that it's only when we stop fussing and fighting, complaining and grumbling, and surrender to the Lord that we will be able to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. When we become a vessel for the Spirit's power, insight, and grace, the Lord steps in and gives us that supernatural power we talked about earlier, just a few minutes ago. That amazing supernatural power that's given to us in abundance without limit. And that empowers us to do the impossible. One of those things is giving thanks in the middle of our pain, both physical and emotional. Believe me, I know there are moments when we plainly don't see anything for which we can be thankful or grateful. I've gone through a number of those. And I imagine everyone here has at some point gone through some awful situation where we were thinking, like Elijah, oh God, please take me now. But when we're in one of those funks, we're miserable, right? We're down. We feel like the whole world has caved in around us. We're praying for deliverance or at least a slight change. In those moments, God hears us. He's always listening. God hears. The element that prevents that supernatural power from flowing through us is that we're likely seeing how big the crisis or problem is and not seeing how big God really is. I'll repeat that. The element or the ingredient or the thing that prevents that supernatural power from flowing through us is that we're likely seeing how big the crisis or problem is and not seeing how big God really is. God is all-powerful. He may allow your situation to continue. But know this, God is in control, not your circumstances. Your circumstances are not in control, because circumstances have no personality, they have no beingness, they are not capable of controlling anything. God is in control all the time. Folks, knowing that the Lord is in control can be a spark to turn things around for good. Simply knowing God cares and that He has the power to change things, that we are in His sights, that He's inscribed us on the palm of His hands, can bring peace in those circumstances, no matter how difficult they may seem to be. And hey, God is, and He is a rewarder of those who seek Him and trust in Him. And yeah, even so, it's still not that easy to give thanks in the hard times. But giving thanks in the middle of a crisis, or difficult or painful time, seems as reasonable as being grateful for a root canal. Yet it's still important because it brings us into God's will for us. Obeying God is not always easy, but it is always worthwhile and worth our time. Why is this important? It's because we rarely get more intimate with God when everything seems like everything's going okay. It's easy to get lazy and forget that God's in control when everything looks so perfect and we lose perspective. But pain has a way of drawing us close to Him, making God so real we feel we can reach out and touch Him. You don't have to give thanks for the thing afflicting you. You don't have to give thanks for an adverse situation at work. You don't have to give thanks for that disease that the doctor just told you you had. You don't have to give thanks that a loved one is in ICU. But you can give thanks to God in that circumstance, which gives you the ability and the power, that unlimited power, to turn the perspective around, see it from God's viewpoint, and understand that He's at work even in that adverse situation, and He's going to turn it around, and you are going to be blessed. That's the benefit of that. And again, He didn't say you have to like it, but He says He wants you to trust Him with it and give thanks. God, I thank You because You are still God. You are in control and You still love me. I don't see it now, but I'm choosing to believe. Give me Your insight. And folks, I want to honestly tell you, that incident that I went through a few years back, if I had done that, it would not have seemed so difficult. I want to confess that I messed up and thought a lot about how bad I felt. But if I had done that, that situation would have been so different. And I regret not following Paul's advice during that time, about 5 years ago. But we need to learn how, and this is difficult at times, but it's so necessary. We need to learn how to say thank you. Now the bad stuff's out of the way. Talking about being thankful in the hard times. Let's talk about how being thankful and showing it can transform an ordinary situation for the better. Did you know that saying thank you or thanking people for something they do, are doing, or have done can actually change the atmosphere and the ambience around us? It's true, and it's because being grateful is something the Lord has made it possible for us to be, not just to do, but to be grateful. And I have two stories, personal stories about this. About 2 weeks ago, I was standing in the line at a supermarket, and the guy in front of me, you know that little plastic bar they put down in between the orders on the conveyor belt at the grocery store? This one guy in front of me put that down on the conveyor belt so I could put my stuff up there. And I looked at the guy and I said, well, thank you. And I started to put my groceries on the belt. Well, that guy had a smile on his face after that. And he said, man, you don't hear that very much, do you? You don't hear people saying thank you that often. I said, well, I guess not. And he replied, you know, and that's a real shame. Well, the fellow in front of him turned around and looked at him and me, and he started to chat about the town and the world in general. At that, the cashier joined in, and before you know it, we were all talking about pleasantries, our families and all kinds of stuff, the approaching holidays, even the Red Sox, and a host of other stuff. And then the woman behind me joined in the conversation. And there we were, in the checkout line at the grocery store. We were all carrying on this conversation like we were the best of friends, and that we had known each other for years, talking about our families, our lives, and all of our hopes and dreams, blah, blah, blah. And we were just having the finest time having this conversation in the grocery store checkout line. Trust me, it actually happened. I was there. And you know how it happened? It's because that dude took that plastic American Express bar, put it on the conveyor belt, and I said, thank you, in response. That thank you turned around this silent group of people who weren't even looking at one another, and it changed the atmosphere. Yes, it was probably only for a short time, a few minutes. But man, that was something else. Here we all were, five of us. We didn't know each other's names, except for the girl who was the checkout line, because they all have to wear name tags. And that's the only person's name we knew. But we were carrying on this conversation like we were the best of friends. That's awesome. That's the power of being thankful and saying thank you. And remember, Paul tells us that if we have the Spirit of God living in us, we can be that way and we can do just that. And he says it five times in those four short chapters in Colossians. Keep that in mind. Four chapters, five times he says for us to be thankful. I think there's a message there. Now, the next story is that I was in an area department store, and there just happened to be a Starbucks in that store in Lowell. And I was walking over to get a napkin, and there was a police officer standing there. And I thought to myself, I'm going to freak out this cop. Yeah, it was a little mischief in me at that moment. But I walked up to this cop, and I said, you know, I'm a teacher at a school here in Lowell, and I want to thank you for the job you do about working to try to keep my kids safe. That cop had a grin like a Cheshire cat right after that. Believe me, cops don't get many people saying thank you. It's usually exactly the opposite, especially if you see their little lights behind you and while you're driving. The last thing you're thinking of doing is thanking that policeman or policewoman now. Excuse me, police officer. But it took this police officer by surprise, but there was this big grin on this cop's face. And she looked at me, and it was a police woman, police officer, female, and she looked at me and said, well, what grade do you teach? And I told her, I said, well, I teach fourth grade. And she said, well, you know, I want to thank you for being a teacher. We smiled, shook hands, and went our ways. But do you see? An attitude of showing appreciation to people for who they are or what job they do can change a heart. Have you ever seen someone wearing a military uniform in public and gone up to them and said, I want to thank you for serving our country? It'll make a difference. That person will thank you for thanking them, because they are in a position to where, believe me, even if they're in the National Guard, they can be called upon at a moment's notice to put their lives on the line, just like police officers. Say thank you to someone. Be thankful. Now, God tells us to be thankful people. The reasons are many. But the best one is the one, the best ones are the ones I've already given you. That one, he's given us the power to be thankful, because we can get in those adverse situations, we can get his insight into what's going on. And how many of us could use a little bit of insight from God every now and then? To have God's perspective on a situation, we could probably use that at least 50 times a day. But also, being thankful changes the atmosphere around you. Have you ever been in a room full of people who were complaining? Or who were not complaining, but one person comes in and starts complaining, and then that spreads too. And then very soon, everyone in that room is complaining about something. And then the mood in that place just went down the tubes. What do you think would have happened if that one person coming in had said, "Man, I am so thankful I have a job. It might not be the greatest, but I'm glad I have one. And yes, some of the people I deal with are difficult to handle. But there's always going to be people like that. So I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm so thankful that I know you, and I know you, and I know you, and I know you." Think of how different the scene could have been if the person coming in, instead of complaining, had been giving thanks. Because I could, trust me, it changes what's going on around you. It changes the mood, and it changes hearts. So God told us to be thankful people. People who live with an attitude of gratitude. It changes the hearts of others. And if we let the Lord's Spirit live in us, and if we have a grateful heart, it will change us too. The next line is crucial to understanding how we can have a grateful outlook on life. Paul reminded us that we have a reason to be thankful. We have the greatest blessing of all. We have a Lord who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now that's something we can be thankful for. Amen? Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.